Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Many of us grew up playing with Lego, those mostly gray rectangles that snap together. And most of us were content building bridges and forts and sometimes cars and trucks. But there were always people who took their designs beyond the expected, and Andrew Johnson was one of those people. Johnson is currently a Legoland Discovery Center master model builder at the Lego Center in Schaumburg, Illinois. He competed for the job against seven other finalists in a build-off contest in 2012. He's currently one of only a handful of people in the United States and even around the world to hold the title. Johnson was in Milwaukee last month with some very intricate models that he designed and built, and he joined me in the studio then. Andrew, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome to Harry Potter, too.
Yeah, he's a little shy, so we'll see how he does.
We'll see if he actually says anything. So Harry is about, what, about 4 feet tall?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, and how long did he take you to make?
Takes about 50 hours. Yeah, the face, wherever there's the most detail, that's what takes the longest. So definitely on him, the face and the hair.
And it's incredibly lifelike. And when you consider that Legos are essentially rectangular or square.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, that to actually get curvature and to get the eye, like eyebrows. I'm looking at eyebrows.
Yeah.
And how are the eyes made? His eyes are a very bright blue.
Yeah, so his eyes are a mix of some, they're called plates, the flat pieces. And then a couple circular Lego with no studs or like the little dots that are on top of all the Lego. So it's flat. The eyes, I would say eyes are one of the hardest things to do.
And to make them look good.
Yeah, exactly. Because they can look very scary if you don't do them right.
Now, this is all because you are a Lego master builder. You are one of about eight in the world. Is that right?
I think it's gone up a couple because there's one master model builder at every Legoland. And we just opened one up in Westchester, New York, one in Toronto. So it's probably up to like 10.
Okay.
I think now.
Yeah, still not very many.
Yeah.
So what does it take to become a master model builder for Lego? Mm-hmm. And how did you get interested in even trying to do such a thing?
Well, I've been interested in Lego, I mean, since I started playing with them when I was very little. I actually got more into them, and especially 3D sculpting larger sculptures in college. I did it as a summer job, working with Lego at education camps. And in my off time or in between classes, I just kind of started building my own creations and realized I had that spatial awareness that I hadn't really tapped into before. And then the application for this job was in a local newspaper. My dad's like, hey, you should try this out. Getting paid to play with toys is not a bad gig. So I applied, and the process was resume and a YouTube video. And then they narrowed it down to eight of us, and we had a build-off.
And okay.
So I technically won my job.
You won your job.
Yeah.
What was the build-off like? I assume that was timed?
It was. So there were me and seven others, and we were actually at the center in Schaumburg in our 4D movie theater. So we were sitting along the front, and it fits about 75 to 100 people. So there were people rotating in and out while we were building. There were 2 half-hour rounds and 1 hour round. They were all themed, and we weren't told what the theme was until the round was about to start. So we had very little time to prepare. And we were just given, like, a random box of Lego. And that's what we were able to use for the whole thing.
Of all the models that you built during that build-off, what was the one that you were the most proud of?
I think I may have just started out really well, and that helped me out. The first round was anything that had to do with Chicago. We had 30 minutes. Someone attempted to build the bean, which is, I mean, the curve on that and doing it on a small scale is very difficult. So kudos to them for even trying. Someone built a deep dish pizza. And I lived downtown and went to DePaul down in Chicago. So I'd walk by the Daily Plaza, which has a sculpture called the Picasso. And I chose that not only because I really like art and Picasso specifically, but it's called the Picasso because no one knows exactly what it is because he never told anyone. It wasn't so much the model, which did turn out decently, but more the story I had behind the model, which was how Lego can be interpreted in many different ways, that looking at one thing from one person, someone else may not see the same thing. So I think kind of just bringing that perspective to the competition kind of already gave me an edge right from the get-go.
Do you think that kind of ability to look at things not from a typical perspective makes a better model builder than somebody who can just follow the directions?
Well, since we are making models that no one's ever made before, there are no directions. So
right.
That's definitely one thing. But I think more than anything, it's being able to kind of picture what you want it to look like before you even start building. I've realized that I kind of just can do that in my head and then make something look the way I want it to, or even just take a 2D image and make it 3D. And I've realized more and more talking to people that not everybody can do that, which I had never really thought about before. So more than anything, it's definitely the 3D aspect of it and being able to kind of create something out of thousands of tiny little brick.
Right, so, that are all the same shape.
Exactly, yeah.
But that you can somehow see that in space, that you know, you see all the sides of it.
Yeah, even just because, I mean, there's several hundred different pieces. So even knowing what piece would fit in a certain place, because you don't always have that piece in front of you at the time. So, yeah, definitely being familiar with Lego, too, has also helped.
You know, there's been some criticism in recent years that Lego is making it a little too easy for people, not at your level, but for people, you know, who are just playing with it or just building it, that there are so many specialized kits, you know, particular themes or characters that the imagination that you're talking about, the ability to kind of see something in your head and then create it, maybe getting lost a little bit. I mean, do you agree with that?
I could definitely see where people are coming from with that. And that's one of the biggest things that I do at the center. Whenever I have free time, I'll just go out on the floor, hang out with kids and build stuff. I mean, at a very young age, I would say it's important to use those kits just to become familiar with pieces. There are actually a lot of good tips in those instructional sets, different ways of building that are really hard to just pick up on your own. So it does give you a head start using the kits. But then I've always given advice just as kids get older to shy away from those. They've kind of gotten the building down and to really come up with something on their own that they really have to use their imagination and creativity on. So as long as you keep it balanced and as you do progress, kind of get into your own building niche and way of building, I guess.
Yeah, how you approach it.
Yeah, you really just have to push kids to get into that.
Or give them the freedom to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly,
yeah. And kids, too. I mean, people talk about this all the time, how our world is so digital and so not as hands-on as it once was. Do you find that Lego is still enduring, that kids are still really flocking to it?
I think it actually, there was a huge boom in Lego in the late 90s, even early 2000s, with the ability for anybody to have access to stop motion software. So stop motion videos, the kind of creation of YouTube and anybody being able to upload videos, I think it kind of brought Lego back and even kind of helped them get pushed into the more digital side.
Yeah, when you're, you know, hanging out with the kids at Legoland, do you find that that's how they're thinking about using Lego, or are there as many ways of using it as there are kids who are using it?
That's one great thing about Lego is you have freedom to use it in so many different ways. I mean, I've had kids come in and show me things they've built just for like their room, like coat hangers out of Lego, things like that. You can just use it for a lot of different things. People use it like instead of like somewhere to throw your keys, you use Lego brick attached to your keys and they hold up on the wall. And then there are things, there's other programs. One's called, it's free to download on the website. It's Lego Digital Designer. It's actually a 3D modeling program that's very basic that kids can use easily. And I always kind of push just for kids to be able to use that because even if you do buy a ton of sets, you're never going to have every piece that's available. And that has all the pieces, it updates, and kids can create their own things without physically having to have the pieces there. But they're still learning the same techniques and creating something on their own. And then they can find the pieces they'll need later and build it. So there's definitely, I think Lego has been able to bridge the gap.
Like
they're not getting cut off by technology at all, I don't think, which is good.
So there's still that hands-on actually putting stuff together and figuring out how that works in three dimensions as well as doing the digital stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I maybe sit at my desk for an hour or two a day, not even. So I'm always hands-on. That's the way I like to go.
Do you find that Lego is predominantly boys, or are girls really getting into it now?
Well, at the center, we actually have about a 50-50, boys and girls coming into the center. I know Lego's tried a couple times with different girl-themed sets, and the latest one, which is called Lego Friends, has definitely gained a lot more momentum. It's a lot more accepted, and they're really expanding those sets. There's Lego City, which is like police stations, forest preserve stations, all that kind of stuff. Girls love those.
They're using them, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Girls love Star Wars, so I mean, I don't think it's cutting off girls from any of the sets. They do maybe go a little more towards boys, but I know that some girls love them as much as any boy does.
Well, it's just nice to know that the girls are in there building them too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is really cool. The Lego leagues, the proliferation of Lego leagues, do you think that kind of competition is healthy for the creativity part, like the art part of doing what you do, as opposed to the sort of the science of just like getting stuff built? And
yeah, it really depends which way you want to go, because I mean, normal Lego brick lends itself more to just the creative side of building and art, whereas those Lego leagues, a lot of them use, they're called NXT Mindstorms. They're robotic kits, so they actually have an electronic board. You can plug them into the computer. There's software attached to it. And that's all created by Lego as well. It's more like a BattleBots League type thing. And that definitely lends itself more to the science and math, computer software aspect, which isn't bad either. You're still using Lego. I think it's definitely important to kind of have that balance. I've worked with those kits as well. But personally, I just like the art side of it, but that's just me. So it is good. There's different ways you can go about using Lego, and you can really find those more science aspects of it if you want to. And I don't think it's takes anything away from Lego. If anything, it just adds to it.
So, yeah, one more dimension
to
it.
Definitely.
Do you think that Lego is going to continue to be popular, that kids are going to continue to want to do this? And if so, why?
Well, I think just looking at history, it's already lasted 50-plus years. I know there are a lot of new kits and different pieces coming out, but the original 2x4, the model for it hasn't changed in probably 40 years. It uses the same mold. So I think I don't think the Lego brick will ever go away. There may be some little side things that kind of drop off the map as they aren't really as relevant anymore. But I think definitely picking up the Mindstorms, that more science base, and I think having the Discovery Centers and Lego lands just makes that environment overall more accessible to people. They can visit and see what is possible instead of just being able to check out a Lego store or the website. It's a lot more immersive experience that kids can take a lot away from, I think.
What is your favorite piece that you've built so far?
As part of the application process, we had to take a picture with our favorite Lego creation. And most of the creations up to that point I'd built at the camp I worked at, so I didn't take any of them home. So I went out and bought maybe 6 or 7 just bulk Lego kits, just the normal pieces. They were instructional sets. I tried to come up with a model that had a lot to do with my own passions and hobbies. So I love film, and I played volleyball in high school and college. So I built the Wilson volleyball from Castaway. So that's probably one of my favorite models.
What a great thing to build.
Oh, yeah. Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Exactly. And what a great character, because it was a character.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So if someone listening to this or the parent of someone listening to this says, geez, you know, I'd like to try to become a master model builder for Lego, what do you suggest that they do?
We're opening up some new sites next year, I think. I actually replaced a master model builder. So I've been here a little over a year. Besides me, everyone's still been at the site since it opened because they usually hold the competition right before the grand opening. So the master model builders, I don't know if any of us are leaving anytime soon. I know I'm not. I mean, there's Lego designers. There's something called Lego Studios in California and England. They're just more warehouse types where it's a group of model builders who just build mass production things. Like, I was out in the one in California last year, and they were working on models for the new Legoland Hotel. So they're just pure model building, whereas I do different things around the center, hanging out with kids. They're definitely more the pure builders.
So there's room
there
for...
There are different... Master model builder is not the only job you'd be able to play with toys all day.
Oh, so. Perfect. Perfect. Because I'm sure there are people listening to it going, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, again, it has been such a pleasure having you in. Thank you for bringing Harry.
Definitely.
He's been very quiet.
Yeah, I don't – maybe I just covered everything. He doesn't really have to chime in.
He probably doesn't really have to chime in.
Yeah.
But thanks for bringing him along.
Definitely.
And enjoy your time in Milwaukee.
I will, definitely.
Andrew Johnson is the master model builder for Legoland Discovery Center Chicago, which is located in Schaumburg. He was in Milwaukee last month, complete with a 4-foot-tall Lego model of Harry Potter. There are photos and more information about it all on our website, wuwm.com/LegoEffect. The full moon may hit your eye like a big pizza pie when you're in love, but does it really affect the rate of emergency room admissions and episodes of mental illness? We separate the myths from reality when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.